98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Halfway home on the Burns and Gambo show. Let's get you caught up on everything we're talking about with a major emphasis, of course, on the Cardinals' season-ending loss to the Rams last night. Here's some of the other stuff that we could be talking about today, and that includes the Phoenix Suns. There was some good news last night. Suns turned it on late. They pulled away to beat the Spurs, 121-107. Devin Booker, 48 points.
For the rebound, his fourth. He just tied Amari Stoudemire with his 15th 40-point game of his career, and now he wants to add on to it, and he drills the three from the left side on a little step-back maneuver, 44 on the night.
Had a couple of shots at 50, Gambo. He wasn't able to quite get there. His last three games, 48 points, 30 points, 35 points.
And he had just been named the Western Conference Player of the Week for the second time before that one. One of the things I'm looking at is the standings. Golden State struggling.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. All of a sudden, the Phoenix Suns, who, you know, week 10 days ago were behind Golden State, they've got a three-game lead on the Golden State Warriors for the best record in the NBA right now.
Next up for the Suns, Thursday night, they're in Dallas taking on the Mavs. So we've got a couple of days off in between Suns games. They're playing very well. Devin Booker playing very well right now. Some news within the Cardinals division. Ken Norton has been fired as the Seahawks defensive coordinator. That announcement was made today. They also announced they have parted ways with defensive passing game coordinator Andre Curtis. So Seattle trying to revamp their defense as their crazy offseason commences with the future of Russell Wilson. This doesn't have anything to do with that, obviously. It's the defensive coordinator, but some changes up there in Seattle.
7-2-1 in Arizona since 2012. 7-2-1. Sorry, I just can't get past that.
Around the NFL from this past weekend, looking ahead to the divisional games, here are the matchups for this weekend. The Bengals at the Titans, 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday.
Wow.
The 49ers at the Packers, 6:15 Saturday night. Then on Sunday, it's the Rams taking on the Bucks at 1. And then the what's got to be the highlight of the weekend, the Bills at the Chiefs at 4:30 in the afternoon
on
Sunday.
I can see an upset in every single one of those games. Whether I pick it or not, I don't know. But I could see every one of the road teams winning.
I agree.
I could see it.
I don't know if I'll pick it, but I certainly agree with it. And I just looking at it, the one that pops off the page to
Buffalo.
Ooh, I was going to say the Bengals. I was going to say the Bengals are the one that kind of grabs my attention. Before we talk about the game from last night, let's give everybody an update on Buda Baker. That horrible hit in the game last night had to be taken off the field in a stretcher. Fortunately, we heard in-game that he was able to move his extremities. He was taken to a local hospital. According to Mark Dalton, the VP of Media Relations for the Cardinals, he is on his way home. He's probably already home by now. Buda took to Instagram this morning to tell everybody he's doing fine and to thank them for their prayers.
I want to say thank you for all the well wishes and the prayers from everyone, and I appreciate you guys. And, you know, everything came out clean. I'm going to make a full recovery, so definitely blessed and just excited to get out of this hospital, you know, get back to Arizona. You know, I haven't been able to shower. I stink still. Just ready to get back home and be with my family. Love you guys. Appreciate all y'all. Always sending love.
So good.
Yeah, yeah, just great news. Just really great news. I mean, that was just such a scary moment, you know. And I felt, yeah, I mean, Cam Akers, I was just terrible with him, taunting him, not knowing what was going on. But still, got a player down like that. I hate that he did that. But good news that that Buda's back in Arizona, apparently, and doing much better.
Yeah, and there were, you know, so many tweets last night after the game. I saw Cooper Kupp tweeted his thoughts and prayers for Buda Baker. I saw Cam Akers had said, hey, man, I had no idea, which doesn't excuse what he did, but I'm just glad he's safe and he's home because Buda, such a good guy, and football is such a dangerous game, and we all had the worst thoughts going through our head last night. But our top story of the day is no question the end of a season. And no debate from J.J. Watt on how to describe last night's game.
It was a massive failure. I mean, from what we were capable of doing and from what we showed we can do to what to today, there's no other way to describe it than as a failure.
You going to try to recreate your top five rant from the start of the show, or have the doctors recommended that we don't do that? What do you got the pills there, Gambo? Gambo,
yeah.
At the beginning, we didn't even have a chance to play the, you know, here's what we're weighing in on the Burns and Gambo show, and you lost your mind the first four minutes of the show, and rightfully so. That's the
rightfully
kind of game
so.
You lose your damn mind about last night.
Rightfully so, yeah. And, yeah, I have a lot of people now saying, nah, that one's as good as 28-5, or people comparing it to the 28-5, you know, comparing which rant was better, that one or the 20. It's actually up. It's on my Twitter page, Gambo987, and on the Burns and Gambo page. So it's up. I mean, I can't replicate it. I never try to replicate rants because it's not, you know, it's not something I think about. I never plan it. I don't write it out. I've never once. It just comes from the heart, and I say what I feel, and I don't know what I'm going to say when I do them. But I swear to you that I have never once, like, thought about what I was going to say or wrote anything down and looked at it. So I just start yelling and screaming, and
yep.
Whatever comes out, comes out.
Yeah, well, it was that game last night was worthy of that. And we've, you know, we share every Cardinal fan's frustrations from last night. We're Cardinal fans. We wanted the Cardinal. I have no problem admitting that whatsoever. But we also have no problem on saying what it is about last night's game that pissed us off so much and calling it like it is. I wanted the Cardinals to win. You wanted the Cardinals to win. And last night was one of the lowest moments I can remember covering this team, and that is saying a lot, because it was as humiliating a postseason loss as you're going to find when you've got one team that looks like they belong and one team that clearly looks like they do not. The Cardinals did not look like they belonged on that field or belonged in the postseason with that effort they put forth last night. It was humiliating how they played.
You know, and the thing to me, and I said we were all a bunch of idiots. Idiots. All of us who thought that the Arizona Cardinals could win a playoff game, we're all idiots. Like, how did we not see this coming? They couldn't beat the Detroit Lions a few weeks ago. They lost to Seattle at home, and all they had to do was win, and they'd have a home field playoff game. Seattle's terrible this year. Like, we should have seen it coming. The only thing that convinced us that they could win this game, we banked on Matthew Stafford sucking because he's always sucked. Like, we banked on, oh, Matthew Stafford's never won a playoff game. We didn't take a deeper dive into the Cardinals. We ignored the Cardinals. I mean, anybody who thought the Cardinals were going to win was basing it solely on Stafford having a bad game. But the Cardinals, that's all they've done down the stretch was have bad games. So to sit there and justify how we did it again, I had every single game predicted correctly until this game. I'm dumb. I was just dumb for picking the Cardinals to win this game. And I look back at it now, and they gave you no reason to believe in them. They gave you no reason to think that they could win a game against the Rams. No reason. So, again, I think just based on Matthew Stafford, the only reason why anybody thought they could win this game.
No, and that's a good reason, or at least it was before last night, because Matthew Stafford finally got that first playoff win in his career. I thought the Rams were going to win. I based that in large part on how the Cardinals finished the season and how they clearly weren't playing their best football. But I thought it was going to be close, and I never ever thought it was going to be as embarrassing as it was in the first half. Like you can say, and you're right, you can say we should have seen this one coming.
Yes.
I don't think anybody could have seen how it came
last night.
Right?
But come on. Like, I mean, if you picked the Cardinals to win, don't you feel like an idiot right now? I'm just being honest. Like, don't you feel like an idiot? Like, you picked the Cardinals. How did you pick the Cardinals? Why would we have picked the Cardinals to win this game? There was no indication from them that they were ready to win this football game.
Yeah.
None. Like, zero. So, I mean, I do feel like kind of ridiculous that I picked them to win. I think I probably went by heart more than anything, because you're right. We want them to win. And I probably fell into the whole Matthew Stafford thing, who, by the way, played the greatest game of his life, right, in a short sample size.
One of the best games in the history of the Rams postseason. Yeah, including Kurt Warner. Yeah, one of the best.
I mean, just absolutely ridiculous.
All right, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Kyler Murray conversation and how historically poor he was last night, How did Kyler do with other quarterbacks making their first ever playoff start? Took a little deep dive into this, and we'll tell you how next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
All right, I'm going to dovetail some of the research I did with what Vince Murata did as we welcome you back to the Burns and Gambo Show. We're live from the Yachin Community Studios on this rather depressing Tuesday afternoon in which the Cardinals' season came to an end with their embarrassing, humiliating loss at the hands of the LA Rams last night. Matthew Stafford, his first career playoff win, came at the hands of the Cardinals, who were extraordinarily non-competitive in that game last night to the point of just being flat-out embarrassing. I started going down a rabbit hole because we all know Kyler Murray was bad last night.
Yeah.
And what I
How bad was he?
How bad was he? Well, our buddy Vince Murata from the morning show, Bickley Murata in the mornings here on 98.7 FM Arizona
the great
Sports
Vince
Station.
Murata.
He is great. He's very good at what he does. And he's very good at stuff like this. Did a little research of his own. He writes on Twitter, not bashing, not predicting the future. I'm just stating fact in real time. Of the 39 active quarterbacks who have started an NFL playoff game, Kyler Murray's debut quarterback rating of 40.9 is the second worst. Brian Hoyer posted a 15.9 in his one and only playoff start in 2016.
Yeah. I mean, are we surprised?
No, not at all.
I mean, are we
surprised?
Like, if somebody told you, hey, I'm glad Vince did the homework on that, but if somebody would have told you, hey, that's one of the worst player performances. Now, you did some homework on your own, which I thought was fascinating, which you'll bring up in a second here, but we should not be surprised based on how poorly he played. The shocking thing is that for some reason, people in that organization thought that Kyler Murray was going to have the best game of his life. I don't know what made, and he had the worst game of his life. So, I mean, there's no disparity. There was nothing in the middle. He's going to have the best game of his life. No, he had the worst game of his life. They're, like, they predicted the sky, the moon, and the stars, and they got the toilet bowl.
Yeah.
And the cesspool is what they got.
And they convinced us, they convinced me of the same thing. That, like Kyler Murray was wired for this. It's in his DNA. He was born for moments like this. Here's Cliff Kingsbury last week.
Yeah, I think this is what he's been waiting for 3 years. He's a guy who you know, wants to be playing for something and knows he's playing for something. And this is his first shot at the playoffs. And I expect him to play probably the best game of his career. And I know he's going to give it everything he's got.
But that's where Cliff was wrong. He was right in that it was his first playoff game. But he was wrong in which he said it was the first time Kyler was playing for something. He has played with the opportunity of, hey, you win this game and you have clinched a playoff spot. He has yet to win a game in those circumstances. This is, you know, now are those as hardcore as a playoff game? No, of course not. But Kyler has had 2 years now of opportunity where, hey, big game tonight. You win this one, you guys are going to the playoffs. And he's failed every single time.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, Cliff, raise that bar to a lot. Man, he's going to have the best game. He's going to have the you know what?
Kyler, was he trying to hype him up? Did he feel like he wasn't seeing the signs that he needed to? So he wanted to hype him up and make him believe that he was going to have a great game. And I wonder, like, there are methods to the madness. I mean, it's possible that Cliff has seen Kyler struggle for a number of games now, and he knew it was coming, so he kind of just wanted to pump him up a little bit. It's very possible.
Yes, it's very possible that that's exactly that he wasn't necessarily telling the truth when he said that, but he was doing that as a way to motivate Kyler Murray. What I was curious about was how many quarterbacks, present and past, started off the playoffs with a loss? Who started the playoffs with a win? How many quarterbacks were successful in their playoff debut? How many quarterbacks lost in their playoff debut? And there was no science necessarily to who I chose. I just kind of started going down teams and rosters, looking at this guy, looking at that guy, whatever. Here are players, Gambo, who won the first ever playoff game they ever played in. Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
Russell Wilson did it on the road. He beat the then Washington Redskins and fellow rookie RG3. He had a passer rating of nearly 93, didn't have any touchdowns, didn't have any interceptions, but they won the game 24-14.
Wasn't that the game that RG3 got hurt in? He was playing, he was limping around forever.
Yep, I believe that's where they were playing on that sloppy track there at FedEx Field. Yeah, I think that was the one. Patrick Mahomes won his first ever playoff game, beat the Colts 31-13. That was a home game for Kansas City. He wasn't on the road. Joe Burrow obviously won his first playoff game, beat the Raiders a few days ago, 244 yards, two touchdowns, no pick.
He was great.
He was really good. Big Ben won his first playoff game as a rookie, as a matter of fact, beats the Jets. Baker Mayfield won his first. And, of course, Tom Brady won his first. Here are the guys who lost in their playoff debut. And the one I put at the top of the list, and I'm not trying to compare the two, I swear I'm not. Peyton Manning's playoff failures.
Yeah.
You forget how bad he was at the start of his postseason career. Mike.
A lot of times we remember how bad he was in that first season. That first season he threw a lot, 20-something interceptions in that first year. I remember that vividly. I do not remember the first playoff game.
Okay, first playoff game, 1999. He wasn't even a rookie. It was his second year in the league. Lost to the Titans. Passer rating of 62.3, 227 yards. The next year, his second ever playoff game, he lost to the Dolphins. 194 yards passing, a touchdown, no interceptions, a passer rating of 82. Here's a whopper. In 2002, on the road, he lost to the New York Jets 41-0.
I remember that game.
Do you remember that game?
I remember it.
He had 137 yards passing, two interceptions, no touchdowns, a passer rating of 31.3 in that game. It wasn't until year six of his career that Peyton Manning won a playoff game.
Yeah. Wow. Herm Edwards was the coach of that Jets team. I'm going to go by memory here. That was Herm Edwards. That was Chad Pennington as the quarterback. And can't remember if Keyshawn was there or not. Might have been Keyshawn. It was definitely I might have been Keyshawn and Wayne Corbett. So I remember that. I mean, it was 41-0 over Peyton.
I'm looking at that game. Right.
I remember it was Herm.
Yep, Herm Edwards was the coach.
Chad Pennington was the quarterback.
Chad Pennington was the quarterback.
Was Keyshawn on that team?
Let's see. I'm looking. Give me just a minute. I don't know.
Okay.
He wasn't.
Corbett was still there.
Yeah,
Wayne Corbett.
Corbett was still there. Curtis Martin was still there. Richie
Santana
Anderson was
Moss?
There. Santana Moss was on that roster.
Santana Moss.
Yeah, but no Keyshawn. He wasn't on that roster.
God, wow.
Here's some other quarterbacks who lost in their playoff debut. Lamar Jackson lost his first two playoff games.
Right.
Was a rookie in 18 and then a second-year player in 2019. Dak Prescott lost in his playoff debut, though he had a really good game statistically. Aaron Rodgers lost in the first ever playoff game he played in. Of course, that was to Kurt Warner and the Cardinals. And in that game, Aaron Rodgers threw for 423 yards, four touchdowns, and a passer.
Wow.
Yeah, right? I mean, that was his playoff debut.
Wow.
He threw for 423 yards and four touchdowns in that game.
Ooh.
Josh Allen lost his playoff debut to Houston. It was on the road. He had a passer rating of 69.5. Drew Brees, as a member of the then San Diego Chargers, lost his playoff debut, two touchdowns and an interception again to the Jets. Now, most of those quarterbacks, their numbers were much, much better than Kyler Murray's were, with the exception of that loss that Manning had to the Jets. But there are certainly some notable quarterbacks, Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, that kind of stand out. I'm not saying he's going to follow in their footsteps. More than anything, I was just curious to see what other quarterbacks struggled a little bit the first time they ever played a playoff game. Those are the ones I found.
Yeah, interesting. The Aaron Rodgers thing is really interesting, right? And for a lot of those guys, it was, you know, they played a good game. They just lost. This is like epic. To lose the way that Kyler did goes down as one of the worst, you know, maybe one of the worst losses ever. Now, I would rather be Lamar Jackson and losing my first two playoff games and everybody questioning me than Kyler coming off of that game. I mean, that was, and if he loses another one, we'll get to that point. Because once you lose multiple playoff games in a row, then people start to question whether you're ever going to win one. Lamar eventually got a win.
Yeah. Josh Allen eventually got a win, right? Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, but, you know, I mean, you just never know. I mean, who knows if you're ever, you don't know if you'll even be back.
Yeah. Text us your thoughts. The FanDuel text line, it's open to you right now at 620-620. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the moments that we'll never forget about last night's game, the pick six and the reaction in the middle of the pick six. Was a sight to behold. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Never thought in a million years this would be our poll question that we'd be asking the folks today after that loss last night. I'm with Eric on this one, Gambo. I even feel a little guilty and dirty for even asking it, but I do feel like it's the question after last night's game. So let's get a Twitter poll update with Eric here on the Burns and Gambo show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's a real tight one when we rolled this out at 2:30. I imagine it's getting a lot of traction on social media. Eric, what do you have for us?
Yeah, over 2,300 votes, of course, courtesy of that Gambo retweet.
Well, I did retweet it.
The power of the Gambo retweet. Bang!
But even with the amount of votes, we still have a ridiculously tight poll. This actually might be the closest one I've ever seen. So,
wow.
The question is, what is your level of faith in Kyler Murray going forward? And your four options, QB1 without a doubt. Mild concern, it's still early in his career. Concerned, and deeply concerned.
Can't buy the early in the career, man. He's going on his fourth year next year. I'm going to say concerned.
There are so many things I expected to talk about today. I never thought I'd come in here concerned about Kyler Murray's long-term future with the Cardinals. I got to be honest. I'm concerned after what I saw last night. That was abysmal. I'm concerned. Put me down for that. Eric, what's the result so far?
Like I said, still super close with a slight lead at 29.6% is mild concern / still early. Coming up in second at 28.8% is concerned. And then in third at 27.3% is QB1 without a doubt. And in last place, by a decent margin, is deeply concerned, 14.4%.
Okay, so that's way back. That's way back, but deeply concerned is still getting some votes. And, of course, the moment. Thank you, Eric, for that, by the way. You can vote on the question on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page.
Now, that is a poll question. Could have went with which rant was better, my Cardinals rant or the 28-5.
Hey, don't go revealing tomorrow's poll question, Gambo. We might roll that one out tomorrow. So just keep that one under lock and key, and we'll see if that's the one we roll with at 2:30 tomorrow. Of course, the moment in last night's game was the moment that will define Kyler Murray's postseason career until he has a better one.
Snap, Murray from his end zone, looking, pumps, in trouble, gets hit, throws the ball forward, and it's picked off, and it's a touchdown. He underhand threw the ball. David Long picked it off, walks in for a touchdown. What a disaster. My goodness, you can't make that mistake if you're Kyler Murray. The safety still better than the touchdown. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow is right. I mean, first of all, you got to know you can't just throw the ball up for grabs like that. I get it. You don't want to take the safety, okay? But the chances of you just throwing the ball straight up in the air without it going out of bounds, that somebody's going to grab that thing and run it into the end zone, are pretty high. Like I would have been surprised if they didn't spring that thing back for a touchdown. Rondale Moore was looking at it like, what the hell? Right? Did you see Rondale Moore?
Yeah, I did.
Like, what do you want me to do about that? And they just grabbed it, ran it in for a touchdown. It was, I mean, it's one of the more embarrassing plays. Look, I'll say this. I think he'll be hard pressed to have a more embarrassing play in the history of in his career than that one. I'll say that. I really do. I think he'll be hard pressed to have a more embarrassing, humiliating play in his entire career than that play right there.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, I just don't know if you can. I mean, look, There's an old saying, it can always get worse. I actually don't know if it can get worse
than
that.
It may not get worse.
I don't know if it can get worse than throwing a pick six to the other team at the 3-yard line and having him waltz it in. I don't know if it actually, in fact, gets worse than that. I really don't.
No, it's as bad. And the reaction on social media and the reaction to that play was just, I mean, it was, people just couldn't believe what they saw. I mean, it's a terrible play. It's a play that you wouldn't expect Chris Shrevler to make. Like, you wouldn't expect the most inexperienced quarterback to just throw the ball up there like that for grabs. Like, you would not expect anybody. You could take every quarterback in the NFL, all 90 of them or whatever it is, and you'd be like hard pressed to find more than one or two that you think would do something that dumb.
Look, everybody makes mistakes. We've all been there. I mean, hell, when we were talking to Brian Greasy on Friday afternoon, I had myself in my mind convinced that the game was here and not there. So I said, "Hey, Brian, safe travels. You know, we look forward to seeing you when you're in Phoenix." Yeah. And you're like, "Wait, what the hell did you just?"
Yeah.
So we all screw up, but Kyler Murray's your everything. He's your franchise quarterback. He's supposed to be the best player on the field. The best player on the field is not supposed to make the worst decision on the field. It's just not supposed to go like that. And that decision was so bad. And you're right.
He's our Andy Gibb. I just want to be your everything.
Something like that, yeah.
Is that who he is? He's our Andy Gibb.
The reaction on social media, I just started taking screenshot after screenshot.
It was great. I loved reading it. I enjoyed that this morning. I mean, I enjoyed reading all of the, because I didn't see all of those.
Yeah.
But you put it together very nicely, the reaction from people.
Bill Barnwell, oh no. Judy Batista was watching the Manning cast. Peyton looks like he might vomit. Pat 40, you cannot be serious, Kyler Murray. Pro Football Talk, I'm not sure Cliff Kingsbury survives this collapse.
Oh, man.
Vince Marotta. Warm up Colt McCoy. Seriously.
I think Vinny might have been on. Like serious there. Like, warm up Colt McCoy. They never would have done it. But interesting to think that Colt McCoy could have given the Cardinals a better chance of having success. Yeah, because Kyler Murray, the pass rush was great. The Cardinals got overwhelmed on both sides of the line, just overwhelmed on both sides of the line. You need a quarterback that's going to drop back and throw a quick pass right away. You got to have slants involved. You have just quick passes. And Kyler wasn't doing that. Kyler was dropping back like he was going to have all day to throw. Maybe Colt McCoy. I mean, I'm agreeing with Vinny to a certain extent. Maybe Colt McCoy would have been able to get rid of the ball quicker to give them a chance, because the pass rush, the Cardinals couldn't block the Rams. They couldn't block Donald. They couldn't block Von Miller. And Dyren Dollard didn't have a great game. But they couldn't stop the pass rush. They just couldn't. The Rams were all over them. What was one of the other ones before after Barnwell? There was another good one in there.
You mentioned
it already.
John McClain. Oh, wait, that I've read already?
Yeah.
Peyton looks like he might vomit.
That's it, that one. Peyton looks like he may vomit. I mean, how many people actually did vomit after watching it? I am sure that there were Cardinal fans out there, right? You had two or three beers in you. You watch that play, you vomited. Tell me, I want to know, if there are a Cardinal fan out there, because I believe that there are many, that actually vomited after they saw that play. I mean, it's natural. It's normal. I wouldn't fault you for that. I would love to hear from the guy who said, yeah, I actually did vomit after that play. I had three beers. I'm watching that play. And I got up so quickly and it all came out. It just all came out.
This is what it sounded like on the Manning cast when Peyton Manning had the look on his face that suggested he might vomit. The Rock is the special guest during this moment, and he actually tips a drink back in, you know, like cheers. Like, well, I guess it's time for this.
Six.
Well,
clearly,
it's a good time to do this.
I could not hear you, Dwayne.
Drink up.
I couldn't hear Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, it's a good time to do this, says The Rock as he takes a swig of tequila from the bottle he's got in his hand. And then, you know, John McClain covers the Houston Texans for Forever and a Day, said that's maybe the dumbest play I've ever seen. There were nicknames on the internet: the Fail Murray, the Flail Murray, the Weiler. Bill Simmons tweeted out that it's like a throwback of a young, terrified Cordell Stewart when talking about the Kyler meltdown. I mean, he's done some incredibly amazing things as a quarterback sure. in this league for 3 years.
We talk
years.
About those when he does them.
Absolutely. But this one is going to haunt him, and it's going to define him, and it's going to follow him until he does something in a postseason game that makes people forget all about that moment. And until he does, that play is going to get replayed again and again and again.
Listen,
it will define him in the postseason.
But will it motivate him?
I don't know.
I mean, will it motivate him? I mean, Jay Feely had a tweet a couple days ago. Josh Allen had the humility each offseason to address his deficiencies, to honestly look at himself and ascertain how he could get better, then to go find someone, I think it was Jesse Palmer, who could help him make those changes. Every young quarterback in the NFL should take a lesson from Josh. That was a tweet by our friend Jay Feely. He's right. Does Kyler need to? You hope that Kyler looks at that game and tomorrow I got to start getting, like, you know, there's certain things like, you know, that motivate you right. I'm not going to put it off a week. I'm not going to put it off for 2 weeks. I got to get better at something right now, like right now. And this might be it. This might be the thing that drives Kyler to become a better quarterback, is that play in that game where he says, you know what, I need to get working. If Kyle is the type of guy that wants to go to the Bahamas for 2 weeks and not throw a football for a month, I'm going to be worried.
Yeah, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, let's take a step back from the Cardinals for just a second, and instead let's lean into the other games from this past weekend and the four Thank fantastic God. Games. Yeah, I know, we all could
Thank
use
you.
A little break right
Thank
now.
Thank you, Jesus.
The four. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The four fantastic games that we have set up for us coming up this weekend. That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
All right. Let's take a break from the Cardinals for just a second.
Let's do it.
I think we could use one.
Yes,
so instead,
we all can.
So instead, let's. Here's what's coming up this weekend, and I know it's only Tuesday. Four really good games, and then we'll kind of talk about. We'll start with the games this weekend, then kind of look back on how we got here. The four games in the divisional playoffs. The schedule has been finalized. Saturday afternoon at 2:30 Arizona time, the Bengals taking on the Titans in Tennessee.
Derrick Henry took a step towards playing. I was just reading Mike Vrabel talking about that he is the injury update on Henry took a big step today, returned to practice in pads.
Ooh, okay.
So he'll be in pads today. I think that's a good step. Vrabel said we'll have to have some contact. It's been a while since he's had contact, but what a big, now he got hurt. He broke his foot in week 8, so he hasn't played in a while. But if they can get Derrick Henry back, that will go a long way in that football game.
The Saturday night game at 6:15 is the San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers.
Man, the long history of 49ers and Packers in the playoffs is, maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow, but these teams have played each other a lot. The Packers and the 49ers have played each other a lot in the playoffs. Man, I like the way San Francisco's playing right now. I don't know if I'll pick them. I could see them winning. I really can. Let's see what the weather's going to be like in Green Bay first, though.
Yeah, that might be something to check on, too. Sunday, the first game of the day is a 1 o'clock Arizona time kickoff. That's the Rams taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
But there's a lot of people that feel like the Rams can beat the Bucs. And that the pass rush has always been the thing that like, as a Giants fan, that pass rush was always the thing that beat Brady in those two Super Bowls. With Von Miller and Aaron Donald, you have to at least question whether that's if I'm not mistaken, Tom Brady's 0-2 against the Rams in Tampa Bay. 0-2 against the Rams since he got to Tampa Bay, I believe. You could double check that, but I believe that he has not won against them. So you can make an argument, and a good argument, that the Rams can win this football game.
No, I think you can. I think Tampa Bay, for having the greatest quarterback of all time on their roster, I do think Tampa Bay's vulnerable, very, very vulnerable, because of the injuries at wide receiver. They got a little banged up on their offensive line. They disposed of the Eagles fairly easily, but this is as vulnerable as Tom Brady has been in a while, I think. At the Rams, now that Stafford's got that first one on the belt, I think they come in a very, very dangerous team because it does seem like these new parts, Von Miller, OBJ, we question whether those guys would fit and how they would fit. It's very obvious they've now fit very well with the LA Rams, and they've kind of figured each other out moving forward.
I saw a funny little nugget that Tom Brady is older than every opposing NFC head coach still left in the playoffs.
Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, and Sean McVay. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Brady is older than the other three coaches that are in the play. He's older than them.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Is that not great?
And then the Sunday night game or the Sunday late afternoon game.
Let's go.
The Bills versus the Chiefs.
This game.
Rematch
of
the AFC Championship game from a year ago. Bring it, man. That is going to be the grand finale for the weekend, no doubt.
Yeah, I hope the Bills didn't like give up everything they had in that game because they could not have played better against New England. Seven straight touchdowns, all of them were long drives except the first one. Seven straight touchdowns. Josh Allen more touchdowns than incompletions. Do you want to peak at the right time? Like, they could not have played a better game than that game against the Patriots. They could not have played a better game.
No, it was perfect. I mean, it was how he didn't get a perfect quarterback rating. I don't know, but it was one of the best playoff performances by a quarterback you'll ever see. And we were lucky enough to see one of those here in Arizona when Kurt Warner took on the Green Bay Packers, the game where he had more touchdown passes than incompletions. And not to discredit Kurt, but that was done inside a very comfortable dome. Josh Allen did it when it was 0 degrees outside. It was beyond impressive what
so
Josh Allen was able to do in that game.
To watch that game and see the players that were out there with no sleeves, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, once they got to the sideline, there was somebody waiting for him with a jacket for him. So I'm going to show my toughness on him. Once I get to the sideline, where's my jacket? Where's the heaters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The super wild card round wasn't very super at all. Four of the six games were blowouts. The Bucks won by 16. The Chiefs won by 21. The Rams won by 23. The Bills won by 30. The other two games were close, but even those games, the 49ers led by 16 in the second half, the Bengals led by 10 to start the fourth quarter against the Raiders, and something we talked a lot about last week never came to fruition, Gambo. The home teams this past weekend went 5-1. Last year, home teams in that round went 2-4. That big kind of upset wave that we've seen in the wild card round the last couple of years. Didn't happen this weekend. The home teams, for the most part, held serve other than the Dallas Cowboys.
Other than Dallas. And that, I mean, that's the, I had picked every game right up until the Cardinal game. And I'm calling myself an idiot for picking the Cardinals because I should have realized that they just had not been playing good. But Dallas seemed like a pretty easy pick. San Francisco. They won that game against the Rams. Dallas wasn't that good. The NFC, just bet against the NFC East, right? Philly went down. Dallas went down. It was just a bad division.
Yeah. No, I thought the same way. I thought Dallas was, and it's why, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to circle this back to the Cardinals for a second. It's why I wanted the Cardinals to get Dallas. Because they weren't beating anybody with the way Kyler played last night, okay? So I'm not going to sit here and say that the Cardinals would be in the next round of the playoffs if they just played the Cowboys. But I did think the Cowboys were extremely vulnerable. I think they could be hit because the Cowboys always do stupid stuff like that at the end of games like that. I don't think Dak is a very good game manager. I don't think Mike McCarthy is a particularly good game manager type coach in terms of situational football and how to coach them up. And Dallas, it's been forever since they've even gotten to the NFC Championship game. It's just a sloppy organization. They always have been, and they always will be. They're very easy to pick against them this time of year.
I think Dak's just a guy. Like, I think he's good. Like, he doesn't suck. He's good, but I don't know that he – I think he's just a guy. I don't think that he's capable of taking them where they need to go. And Jerry Jones, you know, this guy, he's not making any changes. It doesn't seem like it. But they're one and done in so many of these playoffs, the Dallas Cowboys. They're one and done so much. So it is interesting. And I think I was looking at McCarthy's record when he was there. I think he's like 16-14 since he got there.
In Dallas?
In Dallas.
Yeah.
I think his record's like 16-14. He's not, setting the world on fire there. And obviously the end of that game was just absolutely terrible. So let me just see. Cowboys have gone 1-done in 7 of their last 10 playoff appearances. And here's what Cowboys owner Jerry Jones asked about Dak Prescott contract, not getting team over the hump. The hump is advancing in the playoffs. There's been some good quarterbacks that haven't advanced in the playoffs. I'm just sick where one of them, really sick. I'm surprised and sick.
18-15 is Mike McCarthy's record in Dallas as the coach.
I got 18-16.
Well, okay, you counted the playoff game. I'm looking at it.
No playoff wins.
Yeah. Yep, and I think as long as if Dallas look, Jerry Jones likes having a coach that he can control, and as long as that situation continues to exist, I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to continue to exist the way they're going right now.
How about this one? The Cowboys have now gone 11 straight playoff appearances without reaching the conference title game, not the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
just the title game in the NFC, the longest streak of all time.
Dallas gonna Dallas. It's why I wanted the Cardinals to go there, because Dallas is gonna Dallas. They do it every year, and they did it against San Francisco.
Agreed.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, how the season ended is all you will care about when you remember the 2021 Arizona Cardinals. Rightfully. Erasing everything that happened the first 2 months of the season. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.